Hey, this is Josh Keaton, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
Hello, and welcome to episode 6 of Podcaster Meets World, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I am one of your hosts, TFT1 Mike. Joining me, as always, Steve Megatron. Hello, sir.
Hello.
Today we're going to be talking about the second half of Boy Meets World Season 3, which includes episodes 12 through 22. Man, I am loving this whole 22-episode-long thing. That way these Part 1 and Part 2 splits are an even split, and we don't have to worry – like, I don't have to worry about counting episodes. Like, Steve, here, watch these 7, and then watch these 6, and then watch these 9, and then watch these blah-blah-blah-blah-blah, so – even numbers are welcome. And this second half hit me a lot more than the first half did.
I don't have to be alive to love you. Oh, that's beautiful.
See, Corey, wasn't that a good movie? Corey, you're drooling.
No, I was crying through my mouth.
If you're bored, why don't you just go upstairs and watch the game with your father?
Oh, hon, anyone can watch a Super Bowl, right? I mean, it takes a special man to watch a classic like this.
Is that what you are, Cora? A special man?
Huh?
Eric, what are you doing?
I'm saving a life. Listen to me. You and Topanga spent the last 3 Friday nights at home tearing up at chick flicks.
Excuse me, last Friday night, if you recall, Topanga and I spent a lovely evening at home watching no TV whatsoever.
You made jam!
It was preserves, Eric. It was preserves. There's a nifty little recipe in this couple's magazine, see? I told them I was married to get a subscription discount.
Are you blind in the eyes, man? Huh? And you and Topanga are turning into an old, boring couple.
Eric, Topanga and I have been going out for 5 months, all right? And in our circle, we are considered young and hip.
Hun, how are the muffins doing?
I'll stick a fork in them, hun.
Hey. You go near that oven, I'll stick a fork in you.
You wouldn't.
Oh, I'd be doing you a favor.
Oh, stop being such a Weisenheimer. Who said that?
You did, Pops.
I didn't necessarily have a lot of the same experiences that Corey, Sean, Topanga, the Matthews, Eli, Jonathan, Mr. Feeney, I didn't have but I still, because of things that have happened in my life, I sort of kind of related to a lot of things that are going on in these final 11 episodes of season 3 of Boy Meets World. When you watch these, how are you feeling watching the second half compared to the first half?
Nostalgic.
Yes. What I like about this is that we're not really doing the whole bully team thing anymore. Like, Harley and Griff are gone. Hell, Joey's gone. And Frankie is the only one left.
That's because he's the only one with, like, redeemable qualities.
Well, I mean, Frankie is a, you know, he is a big lovable teddy bear that can pound your face, you know, kind of thing. But I like this. Frankie the Enforcer, you know, he's more than just that. He, you know, they actually try to befriend him. You know, they do it for the wrong reasons at first, but, you know.
I walk alone in this world, except for the grilled cheese sandwich in my pocket. First.
Whoa, Frankie, you know, what I'm getting here, pal, is that friendship is very important. So how about this? You let us live, you got 2 new friends.
Who?
Us. Think about it. We could, you know, hang out, go to movies, ball games, whatever.
Poetry readings?
Poetry readings, we're there.
I hate poetry.
Sean, if our friend who's gonna let us live likes poetry, then we like poetry.
Oh, poetry! I thought you said...
All that. We start off with the grass is always greener, and at 14 years old, being uncomfortably domesticated, oh, Corey.
Yeah, I like the fact that he plays himself off as Sean, and Sean's like, no, don't.
Yeah, no, don't. No, no, no. But of course, you know, the guy's night out that they want to do
falls flat,
but it also gets them to the point where they go to this place where Topanga was going, and she's this, you know, foreign little French girl kind of pretending to get away from real life kind of thing. I like this one. It was okay. It was interesting, and again, it's showing, you know, the big huge difference between Corey and Sean is that Corey is the nice guy, and Sean can be the nice guy, but in general, Sean is the bad boy kind of thing, and it's very, very, very cool, very interesting. And then the next one is New Friends and Old, which is when Mr. Feeney asks Corey and Sean to take Frankie under their wing. So this is the episode that I mentioned a minute ago. And throughout this episode, they learn that Frankie is not just a bully. He's not just an enforcer. He's not just there to, you know, bully the younger kids into doing stuff for Corey and Sean. He's an actual person.
He's a teddy bear.
Yeah. And the fact that you have Leon Allen White as Vader, Frankie's dad, like, wow.
I want to thank you both for coming down to discuss this matter. Now, Mr. Stakino.
Yes.
I was talking to Frankie.
Yes.
I was talking to little Frankie. I was talking to this lad right here. Now, whose idea was it to burn students' clothes and make them dress up in cheerleaders' outfits?
I cannot say. I must protect my friend Joey the Rat.
Yes, well, it's too late. Your friend Mr. Epstein has already been suspended. This meeting is to try to save you from a similar fate.
No, 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 that won't happen to my boy, Mr. Feeney. My boy, he's gonna straighten up, and he's gonna fly right as an 11-time heavyweight champion of the world. I guarantee you, my boy, he's gonna toe the line.
Mr. Stakino, I appreciate your passion, but you don't have to bark.
Poor Joey. Poor me. What will I ever do without my best friend?
Someone who drags you down is not your best friend. Now, I suggest you find a better crowd, or you'll end up like your friend Joey.
You do what the man says. You hear me?
You don't have to yell.
No, he's not yelling.
Well, again, thank you for dropping down. Oh, and Mrs. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, that was pretty funny, too. I had to chuckle at that.
Yeah. Big Van Vader. He was a professional wrestler. He was in the NFL draft in 1978. He was round 3, pick 80 in that draft. His college is – he went to Colorado. According to this, Big Van Vader and Frankie, I mean, they are definitely father and son as these characters, and I really did dig that whole thing. And then the next one, A Kiss Is More Than a Kiss, and God. Oh, Corey. This to me is very, like, Corey is, he's on that straight line of he's in love with Topanga. He only wants to kiss Topanga. He only wants to be with Topanga. Mm-hmm. And in this episode, she's like, we're broken up. We've moved on. We're going to do things with other guys. And he gets jealous and this, that, and the other thing and everything else. And, of course, this is all Sean's fault.
Yeah. Had he just left him alone.
Yeah.
Granted, she went to the party without him anyway.
true.
So it probably would have still happened.
Right.
You know, why can't you guys learn from Morgan? She is a great sister. I mean, she stays in her room. You don't hear from her. You don't see her. And best of all, she stays out of my personal life.
So, rumor upstairs is you got a date.
Morgan, long time no see.
Yeah, that was the longest time out I've ever had.
Morgan returns in this episode. But,
I love the little pot shot comments.
Yes.
About, that was the longest time out I've ever had.
Yes.
Yeah, they're like, if you'd like to have another one.
So Lily Nixie was the original Morgan, and now Lindsay Ridgway is the current new Morgan in season three. I see the differences, but I also see how they were also very similar between the two actresses at this time when these actresses were this age. So it isn't like... I've used this example in other podcasts before, like on soap operas. The role of Erica Kane is no longer being played by Susan Lucci. It is now being played by insert name here. Not that that would have ever happened, because Susan Lucci is Susan Lucci. But, that whole thing of sometimes where soap operas will be like, the role of this person is now being played by blah, blah, blah. I like that they didn't do that kind of thing here. And as I said a moment ago, I feel that both Lily and Lindsay at this age were close enough to where the character of Morgan really did blend. Like, you can tell, obviously, there's a different person playing the role, but she still has that sharp wit. She still has this, that, and the other thing and everything else. And yes, like you said, the constant quips about being stuck up in her room for the longest time out ever was very, very hilarious.
And so far, they've all liked me.
Morning, Corey.
Dana.
Sean, could I have a word with you in private?
Yeah, sure. I'll be right over.
Ooh, in private? What could this be?
Well, she probably wants to finish what we started last night. So if I'm late for class, fall asleep without me.
The Heart is a Lonely Hunter is up next, and so this was February of 1996, 3 years before 10 Things I Hate About You. I forgot that Larissa Olenek was in this, because the only place I remember her from is playing Bianca Stratford in 10 Things I Hate About You. But seeing her in this as Dana, oh man, I love her acting in this. So, so good. But basically this one, Sean's bad boy image costs him a date with a nice girl. So he recruits Corey to teach him how to be a boyfriend material. And this episode is also the start of Eric trying to land the internship at the TV station.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's funny about the girlfriend, I remember her from The Secret World of Alex Mack.
I
remember watching it because there was nothing else on at certain times, but apparently she's also on Third Rock from the Sun. I don't remember that, but I'm looking at the IMDb, but I remember The Secret World of Alex Mack. I thought so, but I didn't want to open my mouth and sound like a moron.
Heaven forbid we say a wrong thing on a podcast.
Yeah, so I did the research, but anyways. Yeah, so I think that it's funny that, you know, Eric is trying out for this position in the news station, and, you know.
Hey, Mr. Williams, want to talk to you about my journalism paper?
All right, another episode of Eric Matthews' Excuse Theater. All right, let me guess. You fell behind on your car payments, and they repossessed your paper by mistake, huh?
Wait, Eli, let me play.
All right, come on.
Okay. I'm seeing a pet, right? Lying by a road, huh? With your term paper in his mouth. That's funny. No, look, I'm not going to try to snow you. I know I deserve what I got, but I'm trying to turn things around so I can get into college.
Study.
Come on, I'm being serious. Eli, what about that news internship at the station? Why don't you let him apply?
Wait a sec, there's an internship?
Yeah, hands-on experience, extra credit.
We're at a real TV station? That's so cool. Sign me up, Mr.
Whoa,
Williams.
Whoa, Eric, there's only one spot available. There's going to be a lot of competition. A students. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know, and they're all gonna cancel each other out. I'm a lock. Thank you, Mr. Williams. It's a great suggestion, Mr. Turner.
Great suggestion, Mr. Turner.
What? It can't hurt to let him take a shot.
Hey, I know these people. They're gonna scrutinize every application, look at grades, SAT scores.
Oh, come on. What, are you kidding me? It's television.
He's a lock.
And his grades, of course, are crap because he's just not applying himself.
Yep. Yeah, because in the next episode, Stormy Weather, hey, that aired on my birthday in 1996. I was at the Randy Travis, Sammy Kershaw, and who was the other? Travis Tritt concert that night. It's a whole thing, folks. So Eric's devotion to the TV station, as you said, is affecting his grades and endangering his chances of graduating. Meanwhile, things start to heat up between Jonathan and Dana's mom. Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, my walker's in the shop.
John.
Dana, we should get going. It was nice to meet you, Mr. Turner.
Oh, gosh, call me John.
Call me Susan.
I just may do that.
Okay, let's go. Goodbye, get out.
What kind of disgusting display was that?
What? I was just being friendly to your
girlfriend.
You were
all over her.
No, I was not. Just for safety reasons, you know, if you're ever over there and I need to get a hold of you, what's her number?
1-800-TAKE-A-COLD-SHOWER.
I'm not going to ask her out. Why can't I ask her?
Because she's my girlfriend's mother. And frankly, there's something just sick about this whole situation.
Go on, relax. I'm not going to call her. Hello? Susan? Dana's mom. From the car.
I love Sean in this episode. Sean and Dana. I love the two of them together. I think this is hilarious. Like, oh my God, Jonathan and my mom. Oh my God, we're going to be cousins. And I'm like, oh God. Oh my God. So hilarious. I do like that. You know, we have the Eric and I've always wanted to be a TV weatherman and I always wanted to do this and do that. And I like that he has a goal, even though in order to be doing that goal, he's ignoring what's going to get him further in life, which is his schoolwork. So he can graduate. Then we have the Pink Flamingo Kid. While filming a video for Sean, Corey catches some criminals red-handed and wants to enter a TV news contest. But Sean objects and destroys the tape. You know, Eric's trying to do an American Pickers.
Eric does a lot of these, like, get-rich-quick schemes throughout the series.
Yes, he does.
And they all backfire.
Yep.
Miserably.
And we will see that even more later when Jack enters the fray of friends here. I like the idea of Corey wanting to help Sean with the whole video thing. I thought that was cool. I thought it was absolutely hilarious to make the Hunter family feel the most comfortable. They show up and you don't see any of them. You just hear them. I thought that was kind of cool, especially for a happy birthday for his dad kind of thing. And then we get some life lessons in episode 18, where Mr. Feeney has a very excruciating exam schedule. And everybody decides, except for Corey and Sean, but everybody else in the school decides to retaliate by vandalizing Mr. Feeney's home. Which, you don't do that.
No, it was just, yeah.
No, you don't do that. And it's only an exam schedule, like, oh, 3 finals in 1 day? Please. You know, there were a couple of times in school where I had 4 finals in 1 day. And I mean, I get it. You know, it's pressure. It's school pressure. It's pressure to do well on each final and everything else. But if they are the final tests of the final year of, let's just say you're a senior and you have 6 periods and all 6 periods are finals that you have to study for, to be ready to take that test. Well, that's what you have to do. There is no changing a schedule. There's no, like, that's just not going to happen. And then the comedy bit in the episode where apparently Eric is going to be dating an older woman who Amy was supposed to set up with Jonathan. So that's a whole comedy bit in this episode.
Yeah, and then the dad's like, yeah, way to go. And the mom's like, no.
Yeah, no.
But yeah, I think the funny joke is, you know, when Eric is told by Amy he can't date her, he says, it's because she's Canadian, isn't it?
Eric. Oh, God.
It's like, oh, that's a funny joke. And then he ends up introducing them anyway and meets a different girl that he ends up going out on a date with instead.
Yeah, the older woman finally gets introduced to Jonathan and things go back to where they need to be.
How do you know so much? You're a grocer.
We're really Russian spies. Right, Boris?
Yes, Natasha.
Episode 19 might be my favorite of this half of the season as far as, like, the whole funny bits part of it, because Corey gets a shock when a microwave mishap transports him back to the 1950s, where his post-Cold War knowledge of Russian space experiments gets him mistaken for a spy.
I was there, Mr. Matthews.
The reason why I say this is probably my favorite episode of the second half is because you have all of the cast members, specifically Amy and Alan, trying to do Russian accents, and Amy and Alan do it really, really well.
Boris and Natasha.
Boris, yep. I'm like, oh, that's so good. That's so funny.
And then Sean Z. Hunterelli.
Yes, that was, oh, God. That's, Jesus. It's hilarious.
And then Tom Bosley.
Yep, Tom Bosley shows up as himself.
Yeah.
Along with Mr. Miyagi, Pat Morita, was the wise man.
Excuse me, Mr. Wise Man.
I am playing a song, man. All right, now I'm finished.
Wait a minute, you're the wise man?
No, I am clearly the Hepcat. Now that there is a wise man.
Yo, Mr. Wise Man, our friend here's in a lot of trouble, and we figure that you're the only one.
Wise Man, see, young boy in trouble, now wants to go back. Ah, young boy name, Matthews.
Amazing. So, can you help me?
How did you get here?
Well, the last thing I remember, I was plugging in the microwave, and I must have gotten a shock or something.
Wise Man says best way out is the way you came in.
It's always nice seeing him in things. We got three more episodes for this season, and these are three episodes that I remember the most out of this season, because episode 20 is I Never Sang for My Legal Guardian, as Jonathan decides he is finally ready to assume responsibility as Sean's legal guardian, but Sean only wants to be with his father, Chet. Corey and Topanga search for Chet, but Corey becomes distracted when he catches the attention of a woman. Meanwhile, Mr. Feeney strong-arms Eric into tutoring the school's star athlete, Jeff, which in turn actually helps Eric. Guest stars Blake Clark as Chet Hunter, Bobby Phillips as Luann, Bobby Jacoby as Jeff, and other people as well. I like this one because we finally get the whole Jonathan Turner, Sean Hunter, Chet Hunter. We get more of Sean's story. We finally do see Chet again. Very, very cool.
I actually came to talk to you about Sean.
Why, is he sick?
No. He's just all confused. And, well, I think he really misses me.
Well, I miss him too. He's a good boy.
Then come back for him. He needs you there.
Nah. Sean's better off where he is. Turner sends me his report cards and his tests. He even sent me a picture of him and that new girlfriend of his. Reminds me of his mom. About 1,000 years ago.
But, see, Sean needs family in his life. And That's you.
Come on, son. John's better off where he is now than he ever could be with a man like me.
Mr. Turner's great now, okay? But he's his friend. He's not his father. You are. And with all due respect, if you love him, Mr. Hunter, then you'd come back for him.
I love him. I love him so much I can't go back. You tell Sean his daddy said, hey.
Yeah, the whole thing with Chet being a part of his life and throughout the series is really cool, and then showing that, you know, how all that played out.
Yep.
And kind of traumatized him as he went through.
Yeah, true. But
there's the nice little nod though back to this time frame of Turner and Sean and Girl Meets World. He says, I should have adopted you. I thought about it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we will get to that, because some of those flashbacks and some of those guest starring spots in Girl Meets World, oh, rip my heart out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so we get more of the whole father son thing between Turner and Sean and then Chet and everything else and all that. And I like what Alan says to Jonathan, where he says, you know, if it were my son, I would like, you know, you to at least consult me on, you know, my son's future and what my son wants. Because as I was watching this, I'm like, okay, so we're portraying Chet as not necessarily abandoning his son, but he's running away looking for his wife. But in Chet's eyes, leaving him with Jonathan was the best thing for Sean, even though Sean wants to be with his dad. Because there are some times where some parents may feel like they are not the best thing for their kids at the time. It's a really, really hard, difficult thing to portray. And family television, or a lack thereof these days, but Boy Meets World did this really well with Sean and his whole family and everything that they did with that character and all of his family members. Some grade A family television right there.
Mm-hmm.
Episode 21, The Happiest Show on Earth.
I tell you, my Uncle Nicky would take care of our travel arrangements.
We took a cargo plane, Sean. I sat next to a crate of live chickens. You see this? Peck marks.
Oh, come on, Gar. We're here. Happiest place on earth.
Yeah, then why am I so miserable?
Now you gotta do what you came here to do. Find Topanga and tell her you still love her.
I know. I mean, she's the most wonderful thing that ever happened to me. How can I not have her in my life?
Corey cannot keep his mind off Topanga and tries to woo her by following her to Walt Disney World. But Topanga becomes angry because she believes he traveled all that way for another girl, Kristen. Debbie Dunning as Alexandra, special guest star. Guest star Andrew Keegan as Ronnie. So the guy that was with Topanga on the date, Ronnie, that is Joey from 10 Things I Hate About You. So this one.
Churro? Are you kidding me? Come on, let's go.
It's the Disney episode, because every 90s family comedy had to have a Disney episode. I remember Full House had Disney episodes. Other shows, I don't think Family Matters had one, but I know other shows had one episode where everybody went to Disney, or most characters went to Disney. I like this because you have Corey and Topanga figuring out what they want. And she brings up the whole thing of, you know, at 14 years old, how can we have these feelings for each other kind of thing? I don't know. Corey just knows what he wants. Like, Corey has always been that domesticated, like, one woman man kind of thing. And Topanga is his woman kind of thing. And I don't know.
I like the fact that Eric covers for Corey using a life-size dummy.
That poor dummy.
And then Feeny's the only one that caught on.
Yep.
And he's like, why did you just shove your brother into the locker? He's like, what brother? And then he gets him distracted and then throws him down the hall.
Yep.
And then it's later unburied out of his backyard.
Yep.
It's like, why would you bury in Feeney's backyard?
Because Eric is dumb.
Because good is dumb.
Yeah.
Look, what I did was wrong, okay? But just in case there's any chance of leniency, here, snow domes from Disney World.
Upstairs.
Then I'll be taking these back.
Corey, I'm glad everything worked out with you and Topanga.
Me too, Mom. You may keep yours.
And then the season finale is kind of a cliffhanger, a little bit. As Corey dreads the upcoming summer vacation without Topanga, he realizes that she's going to camp, Sean's traveling with his father, and Eric's leaving for college, until Eric receives a letter stating that he didn't get into the college of his choice. Eric then decides to take a cross-country road trip and invites Corey along for the ride. So this is interesting. I still want to see how Eric is going to drive to Hawaii.
Yeah, that was pretty dumb.
You know, it is what it is, but I like finally get to see all this emotion come out of Corey and Eric about, you know, how they've been brothers for 15 years. But, you know, Eric's always been off with his friends, or Corey's always been off with his friends and his girlfriend and whatever. So I like seeing the two brothers together doing this, and I think it's fun and funny and interesting, and I like the characterization between the two of them.
What's the matter, Mr. Matthews? You seem a little down. Perhaps some history homework would cheer you up?
Knock it off, Eric. You know I'm not a big fan of your Feeny puppet.
Come on, Cor. I mean, I thought everything was great now that you and Topanga are back together. Big kiss. Back together. Big kiss.
Hey. Stay out of my personal life.
Hey, come on, Corey. I mean, Topanga's leaving for the summer, and I'm sorry, but that's got nothing to do with me. I got 1 week left here. Let's make it great. Just like old times.
What old times?
Yeah, it was nice to see them, you know, finally bond in a sort. And and then, their farewell. I can't remember what exactly he said, but he says, oh, they think we're going here. We're going to go here.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Boy Meets World, Season 3. The first half, as I said last time in Episode 5, I didn't really relate all that much to some of it. The second half here, there were plenty of things for me to relate to from both the adults and the kids. And the kids are growing up. The kids are going to be adults soon. I mean, they're on their way to becoming seniors of the high school and all of that and dealing with things and whatever. And
2 months on the road? Can't think anybody else I'd rather share the car with.
It's going to be a summer we'll never forget.
Things always seem to work out for the best.
I've always believed that.
The only thing I remember about season 4 is the opening, because they change the opening every season, at least up until the first 4 seasons. I remember the music for the season 4 opening, and I remember it's Corey in the beginning jumping in the car, and they're going on, because part of season 4 in the premiere, the first episode, is Eric and Corey are still on the road trip, because the summer hasn't fully ended yet. But season 3, overall, I enjoy it. I think it's fun. I think it's interesting. I think that the character growth throughout for everybody, in whichever way that they're growing, is really great. I will miss Eli. I think his character was a really good addition to the overall cast. So yeah, final thoughts from you, sir.
I really enjoyed it. Yes, there were aspects that I just didn't mesh with very well, but on a whole, I enjoyed it. I always look forward to the getting to see things change as the series goes.
Yeah, absolutely. Coming up next is season 4, part 1, where we will once again be doing the first 11 episodes, because again, as I said earlier, thankfully each of these seasons has 22 episodes so far. So, that's what we'll be doing next time, part 1, season 4, episodes 1 through 11. We've got You Can Go Home Again, Hair Today, Goon Tomorrow, I Ain't Gonna Spray Lettuce No More, Fishing for Verna, which, oh boy, Shallow Boy, Janitor Dad, uh-oh, Singled Out, hey, somebody call Chris Hardwick, Dangerous Secret, 16 Candles and 400 Pound Men, oh my god, Turkey Day, and An Affair to Forget. So that's what's coming up next here on Podcaster Meets World. You got anything you want to promote, sir?
Nope.
All right. Thank you for joining us here on Podcaster Meets World. There are several ways to get in contact with us. Leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. Please leave us comments. Send us any email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. Here are all the ways you can listen to us nowadays. Apple and Google Podcasts, leave us reviews, please. Spotify and any other podcatching client you choose to use. Follow us on Twitter at Geekcast Radio is for the network. I am at TFG1 Mike. What are your Twitters?
At SCP21 and at Steve Phillips VO.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/Geekcast Radio Network. You can also check out Altered Geek and all things Transformers over there as well. Join us next time. As I said, we'll be talking about Boy Meets World Season 4, Part 1. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with
Steve Megatron.
Thank you for listening, and be sure to tune in next time here on Podcaster Meets World.
Hey, Mom.
Yeah. Eric.
How about the work you did on the attic and the garage? Your mother, being the sensitive, guilty soul that she is.
Oh, Alan, will you stop it? We're going to pay you for your work. $60.
Oh. Amy, you got some change? I need some 20s.
Oh, wait. Hang on a second. Let me see if I can help you out. Oh, no can do. Only got hundreds.
Where did you get that?
Oh, from that scam house, Lankershim and Sloan's? Well, one of those boxes had an old wooden mask. They were so impressed, they gave me a few reasons why I should sell it to them right on the spot.
How many reasons?
4,000 reasons. Hey, Mr. Feeney, look, $4,000. I'm a millionaire!
I'm sure you are. Amy, do you remember that box you were storing for me?
Sure, it was in the garage.
Terrific. I'm on my way to the appraiser. There's an old kabuki mask in it. I'm curious to see if I can make a few dollars off of it.
Hey, Mr. Feeney, how does $500 sound to you?
Eric.
Here, just take it.
I'm a millionaire.